You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 179 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and My New Horse. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse, brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's show, we had a cross collab with Schlesha Saddles where me and Johan Schlesha talk about saddle optimization for women and how the right saddle for you can make a world of difference for your horse. Then we meet an adoptable horse of the week and a new training tip with New Vocations' Bridget Heasley. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Retired Racehorse Radio.
This is Joy Orr in Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York. And you are listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Well, Kristen, I have an itch. And I am low-key starting to horse shop. Very low-key.
Ooh. Tell me all about it.
So I like put it online as a sneaky peek. If you follow me on Instagram, I'm working towards a potential project that I will share as more of it comes out down the line, but it requires me to get a new horse for competition. And I'm so excited, but I'm taking my sweet time to find that horse.
As you should.
Yes.
That's a big decision, right? It's like going out and being like, I want a husband. I'm just going to pick a man. Like, we don't do that.
No. No. It's going to be just kind of a slow road, trying a couple different horses over the summer. And then my goal is like, know what I'm doing by fall. That's my goal.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
My kids will be one. We'll have like the fresh revamp of potentially going to the makeover this October. That's how we want to celebrate their first birthday.
Oh, fun.
Yes. With their honorary Grandma Judy, who was Millie Mildred's breeder, who we stay very close with. She offered for us to stay with her.
Oh, how fun.
I know. So that'll be fun. But yeah, I feel like I'll be all energized and feel like, you know, making it 1 year with two infants felt like a good time to reward myself, a little treat show self moment.
Right. Yeah, that feels like a big milestone too.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not like it was easy. I mean, obviously none of this was easy, you know, but I know it wasn't easy like bringing them into the world. And, you know, now it's, yeah, time to move dreams around on all the different burners. I'm excited for you.
Me too. I've already had a couple people reach out to me based on my post of like, I have this nice horse. And I'm like, no, I will find you.
Yeah. Worry. Oh gosh. Yeah. You're about to be inundated. Yeah. Everyone listening, Joy might want your horse, but don't take it personally if she doesn't.
Yes. I'm just taking it slow and making my wish list, but I'm very excited that Zach and I have had the conversation. We've approved it together. We have all the plans. I've got a boarding space ready for when I'm ready to pull the trigger. So like, it's good.
That's a good idea to do all that part first. I feel like people are like, got the horse. Uh-oh.
What do I do? Yeah.
Where do I put it?
Yeah. So it's all in works, especially like I have farm updates too, which isn't as exciting right now, but like regardless, we know we can put the horses on that farm too. So it might be a temp boarding situation with a longer term plan. So.
Yeah. Well, give me the farm update too, because there can never, right? It can never just always be on the up trajectory.
No.
Which is also good to remember when, you know, it feels like everything's on the down trajectory. Like not everything is down, right? Like eventually something will come back up. So this is just the flip side, right?
Yeah. And for anyone who listened to the last episode, like there was some bad news where the floodplain created a $20,000 survey that we'd have to do just for a driveway. And I was like, oh, that sucks, but we'll pivot. It'll be fine. Well, now it feels like a raging to do all this, but it's okay. I just have to go through a lot of governmental hoops. Because
that's never good.
Yeah, the township plan only wants like a certain amount of frontage of the property has to be on public roads, so they say. But then there's some caveats of like private roads. So I was like, well, they're basically the private road here. Like, I'm pretty sure I can dig it up that a deed or at least an application had gone through. And like, well, we don't approve those anymore. I was like, I found three in the last year. So I don't know if that's true. Anyway, so I am making friends with the township government, putting on like my Leslie Knope hat for anyone who watch Parks and Recreation. I'm a very tenacious human and I'm really leaning hard into it, but I also may have reached out to an equestrian realtor who I have a call with tomorrow and be like, I need a backup plan.
I don't think you can ever have too many plans, right? Especially like if you have the capital to do it, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if the perfect one comes along, just move on it, you know?
Exactly. And I think if our current home situation was different, as in I'm podcasting inside my children's playpen because my office is filled with stuff.
You mentioned that before you hit the record button. I was like, you're where?
Yeah, I'm in their playpen in the middle of the living room podcasting because all of like their things that they have outgrown, I need to sort them, are just in my office. So I can either box myself in surrounded by things, or I can just come and be surrounded by children's toys. It's my choice.
Well, you're so making it work.
I don't want to be in this house any longer than I have to.
You may have outgrown it.
We may have outgrown it. Yes, just a smidge. Also, I'm tired of my neighbors who are obsessed with having the perfect lawn.
Oh, weird flex, people.
I love that that is their hobbies and they're very proud of it. But I am sick of hearing every lawnmower, weed whip, leaf blower at all hours of the day, all the time. Mm. So
you have a neighborhood with like a lot of retirees, right?
I sure do. And a lot of ways are fabulous too. Because, you know, they are like the pros at neighborhood watch. I don't need necessarily to get like a fancy alarm system because I have retirees as neighbors. Nice. But I also like watch them trim their hedges perfectly. And I'm just not going to be that girl. Maybe ever.
No. There's just there. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like exactly. You do you, people. You know, if that is the thing that you get excited about, that is great.
Yes.
Some of us have other things and other things that need our time.
Like horse shopping, which is becoming my new escape from my reality.
There you go.
Yes. So that's what's new in my world. How about you?
Well, all of my like threats combined with tender loving care and medication is working. So
yay,
horses are, they're sound-ish. I don't want to say it too loud in case they hear.
No, don't, you don't want them to know.
Yeah, Shorty is having some back issues, but he's actually working through them really well. So like Eric worked him on hills in hand the other day. Both of them got nice and sweaty. While I rode with my mom was riding Wes, which is Wes's like his ultimate summer job, because she spends about 45 minutes grooming him and then rides him very lightly. And he's like, he is. So he's very pleased with that gig. Jobber's feeling much better. He does warm up very weird. Like he feels like he has square wheels, which is the best way I can describe it. And Eric actually rode him last night because I was longlining Shorty to encourage him to stretch long and low and, you know, engage and lift his back and stretch his back. And he went beautifully, but Eric, you know, the first 10 minutes was like, oh yeah, you're right. Like that's a really good way to describe what Jobber feels like. He literally feels like he has square wheels, and he does warm up out of it, which my vet, who's also my body worker, was like, yeah, just sort of keep working him and hopefully that will all strengthen. So yeah. So I am doing this under vet guidance because otherwise I'd be like, this horse feels weird. I don't think I should ride him. But she was like, no, please put him in work. So now we know, like, and we just sort of let him like choose where he wants to go and the pace he wants to go at. And he's quite happy. And then Shorty had some really nice long lining last night and then did like the most licking, chewing, yawning releases I've ever seen in his life. So I was like, oh, okay, I think he got somewhere and unlocked something. So, And I kind of enjoy long lining. It is like, it feels weird to say because I've always just been a rider, but I find the long lining very satisfying to do. So
it is. I like it too.
Yeah. Like you can still kind of achieve all that like connection just without sitting on the horse. So, you know, and watching the horse really engage and stretch down and then like clearly get somewhere, you know, like unlocking something physically and then maybe also unlocking something mentally as well. I was like, oh, this is kind of fun and rewarding. So we're going to work more of that in over the next couple of weeks. And if his back continues to strengthen, then hopefully Eric can get back on and we can trail ride around a little bit. So
love it.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed this continues in a positive trajectory.
Yeah. And if not, then we'll have more learning to do. So no shortage of that around here. We are putting him back into shoes also. So okay. I think it's become, we've given it, I think, a very fair trial of trying to keep him barefoot, and it is just not working. We just cannot achieve the sole depth that he needs. So, but I feel like we've been trying for years. We've tried, you know, different supplements, balancing feeds, you know, a good balanced barefoot trim. We're using boots and it is just not working. So it is time to call it on that and put the horse in some shoes. So we'll see if that also helps. Cause I also think that like, you know, if he's compensating cause his feet hurt a little, that's obviously going to show up in his back. So
yeah,
interested to see what pieces are related to what, and we'll probably never know because so many things will change at a time. So that's the great and frustrating part as well. So horses, woo!
Horses.
Yeah.
They keep us going. Sometimes I wonder, I'm like, what level of dopamine do horses give us that continue? Like where we feel the need to continue showing up, to continue doing the sport that's actually quite stressful.
Yeah. Like, is it us? Like, is there something broken in us that like the horse fixes? And we're like, yes, this is totally fine. I don't want to go too far down that road. Cause
no, we don't have time for that really, episode today.
We really don't. No, we have a cool episode. Actually, I'm really looking forward to your conversation because I wasn't part of that recording. So it's really cool when I get to like listen in and learn something. So
yeah, a little bit different than our standard episodes, but I had the opportunity, for those who don't know, Shleisha Saddles, they've been doing their own podcast series, and this one's actually on video, so if anyone is curious what I look like, you can go to their YouTube and see it. I did look presentable for once in my life.
Presentable, you should. Oof,
Kristen, I have photos that I will show you, but nobody. Sorry, Chris. But anyway, we came on and we were talking about the fact, me as a now postpartum writer, what had fit me before does not fit now, and how it's impacted writing, especially like writing a schoolmaster. I am seeing very clearly how the balance I thought I had, because I'm like, oh, I thought I'd just be like sore and have to work my muscles again. No, that's not the case. I've had a lot of compensation. My balance is different from upper body, lower body, everything in between. And so that's kind of what we talked about, is how having that ill-fitted saddle as a woman, especially because most saddles, fun fact, are designed for men and their anatomy, not just impacts you as a rider, like short-term and long-term, like back pain, knee pain, all that stuff, but how it also affects your horse, especially thoroughbreds. And we even talk a little bit about like potentially how it impacts like kissing spine development and things like that too. So it's an interesting interview.
Very interested in that. And I think it's interesting, right? Because like sometimes I think for some riders, it's almost a point of pride to be like, oh, I don't like this saddle, but it fits my horse really well, you know? And it's like, well, you don't have to compromise, right? Like you can get a saddle that fits both of you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of times too, like we will, the big theme I think of, not to give spoilers, I hope everyone enjoys it, but you'll hear a big thing about how riders adapt and we tell ourselves we're comfortable, but we're actually making something work half the time. So there's a lot of good science in it. If you like that type of thing, I know it's a little different than our normal conversations, but I do think it's very relevant.
Love it. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, should be a good episode. And I know too, we're getting some training tips. I thought the one we brought to Bridget's very timely, being it's very trail seasonal. Season. Yes.
Yes.
But also one I just didn't think about, but I've been in that predicament. So a lot of good nuggets of information in this episode that I think listeners will really, really enjoy. But before we hear all of that good stuff, we're going to hear from our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products.
A research-proven, powerful antioxidant, Elevate maintains healthy muscle, nerve, and immune functions. It does this by delivering a highly bioavailable source of natural vitamin E that is preferentially absorbed and retained in a horse's tissues. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. And Joy, thank you very much for joining us. Good to see you again.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Like, we had a little pre-talk just now, and you were saying last time we could have talked on and on and on because we both like thoroughbreds so much. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely a great session and close to my heart. And today you have a new quest and a new questions, and let's hear, what is it?
Yeah, so things have changed in my life since last time we talked. You are on my show, Retired Resource Radio, and since then I got pregnant. I gave birth to two twins, which was a surprise. but very quickly, I realized that how much your body changes. I know that seems very obvious with pregnancy, but no one prepped me as an equestrian, how that was going to affect my seat, my balance, how it impacts how I fit in the saddle. My saddle I had before does not feel the same as it does now. And I think it opened up this question for me of how do we create a conversation and understanding that it's okay for your body to evolve after birth, and that it's an important time to check your saddle fit and how it impacts your horse when you choose not to.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were telling me earlier something about your feet, which I never heard before.
I mean, lots of things changed, right? So I was always I always had a good sense of my body and how I felt and being balanced. And I felt like through fitness and specifically Pilates, I really knew where I was strong and where I was weak. Pregnancy has blown all of my knowledge up. I'll just say that. So between having a hormone dump of relaxin, which if you've ever had a baby or you're currently pregnant, you'll know, it loosens all of your ligaments. So your fingers spread out, your toes spread out, your hips get looser, and it's meant to shape and prepare to carry and deliver the baby and all the weight that comes with it too. And so I had stopped riding pretty early on, having two babies at once. I had quite a large amount, and I couldn't balance successfully in the saddle. I literally felt like I was on a teetering spring in my own body. My foot got bigger at the time, both of them did, but only one kind of went back to normal post-pregnancy. The other one made it almost there, but didn't fully come back. So I have some balance differences from the right to the left side. And I also noticed my rib cage has expanded, my hips have expanded. And while I'm getting closer to my pre-baby weight again, my body is never going to be the same. And so my riding has changed as well.
Interesting. Very, thank you so much for sharing. And I'm sure, and I hope, many riders who we know are ladies these days, and maybe not every single rider will have babies who are women, but majority may or may not. That's mm-hmm. They may have children. So I think this would be a phenomenal topic, as I understand you're back to riding. Is that right?
I am. And I'll tell you, the first ride made me feel very much like a beginner again. The muscle memory was there, but it didn't work the way I remembered it, if that makes sense. Like, it wasn't necessarily weakness. That was what I was anticipating, is, well, I got to build my riding muscles up. I'll be sore again. And it wasn't that, if anything. Like, I'm exclusively breastfeeding. I feel very lucky to be able to do that. But I am now top heavy in a way that I wasn't prepared for. And also realizing how I've compensated during pregnancy. I have a much stronger left side than right side.
where before I was pretty even with both sides. So I'm finding that I close one leg heavier than the other. I like to sit differently, and I'm on a schoolmaster right now, and he exposes every flaw that I'm doing in the saddle. He shows every imbalance I have, because he'll start doing lateral work or go into a circle the moment I get a little bit heavier on one side. And it really did make me start to question. I was like, no one talked to me about this coming back. Everyone prepped me how sore I was going to be and rebuilding those muscles, but no one prepped me that I was going to feel a little bit like a beginner. And it did kind of hit my ego. It was very humbling.
I have a couple of questions. Number one, are you left-handed or right-handed?
I'm right-handed.
And number two is the question, nobody prepped me, I think comes from a certain stage, but why, in your opinion, did no or does nobody prep today's majority of the rider?
Yeah, I think there's probably several answers that probably go into that. The one I lean into culturally in America, I think we strongly focus on bouncing back. It's almost like we forget the birth happened. Like, you've had the baby, you have a couple months to kind of celebrate being this new mom, and then it's back to routine. Yeah, like, go back to work, figure out how to be thin again, figure out how to fit all the things in and be a great mom and do, you know, all the things, accomplish your horse goals. What we aren't talking about is the celebration of what your body just did. Mm-hmm. And what it had to go through to get there. I think it can become this like taboo topic to talk about, oh, my body's different, because that means you're not going to bounce back. You're not going to hit the standard that isn't real. Truthfully, your anatomy will forever shift. And you can look at different autopsies of women who've given birth and haven't, and your whole anatomy shifts when you have a baby. Your rib cage gets bigger, your hips shift.
Love information you're sharing. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's life. You're supposed to have it no matter how tiny you are after pregnancy. Your anatomy forever shifts.
You said something really cool before we hit the record button. You said something, oh, we're going to go back the way we were. You said we evolve.
Yeah. That's how I like to think about it. It's not we shouldn't look at it as a failure. It's your body fully morphed to create and carry life.
Yeah.
And in some senses, it's stronger than it ever was going through that. But we aren't celebrating that evolvement. Instead, we look at it as a hindrance because it's not the same. And humans, notoriously, we know, don't like change. It's not something we're born to be into. But if you take the moment to like mourn that change and then see the opportunity in front of you, like, I'm looking at this opportunity of, I get to relearn how to ride and understand my body in a way I haven't had to do in a very long time, and lean into that curiosity. It's opened the door of kind of why we are having this conversation of, why isn't this a normal topic? Why isn't someone telling me, hey, before you start riding, let's go do your saddle fit again, because I bet your horse will appreciate it. Because we all know, if it doesn't fit the rider, it's certainly not going to fit the horse either, no matter how great the saddle fits on the horse by themselves.
Right, right. So I got to listen to you. All these questions popped to my head. And one of the things is, would you know any other sport where men and women compete together in the same levels?
I mean, your best bet is maybe a local 5K in my brain, but even that is separated.
Right, so the other thing is that women, you know, weren't supposed to sit astride on a horse. They should put their breasts on. And the last time we really focused on that, when we made for that era in time, saddles where the lady sits sideways. We called it a side saddle. Now, that doesn't mean a guy can't ride in it, but they were specifically made for a girl. And then while time evolved, after the Second World War, riding became much more than just the military or just plowing fields or going from A to B. It became a sport. And for the first time, we had the military training into the riding stables, heavy duty, guided by men. As a matter of fact, all the time when we look back in history, it was a very male-dominated sport, or when the male was sitting on the horse and fighting the war, etc. And while this time evolved, we see more and more women coming. And in the 70s, late 70s, we see all of a sudden a shift. The majority of the riders are now women. That's in the 70s. Now, 50 years later, there's still saddlery and says, there's no difference in the pelvis between male and female. It's all smoke and mirrors. There's no difference how a woman sits in the saddle versus a man. We still fight the most obvious thing. You're telling me that when people do dissections and they're looking at a female who had a birth versus not birth, how different it is. So, which I totally believe, but can you imagine when scientists say, well, there's a skeleton in the ground, this pile here are male and this are female. And the number one, they see it on the pelvis. And when we go back to the sport riding, this is my seat. My number one important part is my seat, right? And I sit on the saddle, not like I sit on the toilet or I would sit in my car or at the table. I sit on my saddle as if I'm standing. So that's what we call the saddle sitting, a standing seat. The only thing what difference, me standing on the ground versus me on the horse, is that the weight is not on my seat bone, on my legs. When I'm standing on the ground, my weight is on my legs. But I'm sitting on a horse as a rider. I now balance myself on my seat bones. But I don't think you have met, or you will personally, or you will ever find a riding instructor that says, you should sit on your saddle like you sit on your toilet, with your knees up to your nose, round shoulders. You know, they all want you to sit nice and straight. What does straight mean? Straight means keep your spine aligned the way nature made your spine. Now, your spine comes out of your pelvis and through the sacroiliac joint, you're trying to balance yourself. But if your spine is anchored to the pelvis, which is resting on the saddle, here falls everything apart. And I made a little PowerPoint a while ago, which I would love to share with you. And if we look, when we look for saddles for, well, women, then we need to think about, you see here in that slide, you see the pelvis, okay? What I was talking about. So now, of course, you do rising trot, or you light canter, or you jump, or you're a jockey, you're standing in your stirrup. But the fact of the matter is, you see the spine, how it anchors to your pelvis. So when I am a pleasure rider, dressage rider, or a rider who not standing in the feet, I'm putting my weight on my seat bones, I'm trying to balance. And when you were telling me all this, how your body change, and how your balance points change, I think it's absolutely crucial that we get out of the dark ages and accept, yes, this sex has a birth channel. This sex has no birth channel. So we have two different, I don't want to go as far as saying species, while my, some people say actually they are, but no, it's just a joke. So we have two different distinct pelvises, lower backs, neck in the femur, angle of the thighs, all what's important for a rider. And if I take that a step further, okay, and I'm going to look at how I would like to sit, as I said, let me see if I go, here we go. So if, pardon about the word gender here, should sex appropriate, this was, I wrote that before all the gender issue came in. So don't get hung on that, hang up on that, please. So when I'm a male or a female, I want to maintain myself aligned. And alignment means shoulder, hips, and heels. And when I look at the difference right here, right, it starts with the guy has a longer tailbone, less arc in the bar, in the lower back, and his butt cheeks, gluteus maximus, sits closer. Due to the fact that ladies have, from general already, more arch in the lower back, and they have the shorter tailbone due to the fact they have a birth channel. With a long tailbone, that will not happen. Her gluteus maximus sits a little bit more away. So if you bring that down, that tilts your pelvis, that tilts your spine. But that's just one of many big key elements which I, as a saddle fitter or saddle maker, need to address. And if I go with, oh, it's just smoke and mirrors, people want to now sell special saddles for women. Well, we used to do that. We called them side saddle. Because occasionally one or the other lady of the court or had the money to ride or was in the right royal blood to be a rider or fox hunting, she got a saddle. The fact is, now the majority of the rider have adapted to modern times. They don't just wear skirts, they have pants on it, and society lets them sit astride on the horse. But we have not adapted the fact, and the facts drive me absolutely nuts how the industry forces it. And that's why I always say to people, remember, the person knows the how will always follow the person or the why. Why do we have such an ill-fitting industry in this market? I'm going to come back to this. The next thing is, you know, what I just said, in the century we changed the use of the horse, the breeds of the horse, but also the sex and knowledge of the rider. They used to say, oh, it takes 3 human lifetimes to learn how to ride. Today we have the internet, so I don't have to wait until information from the neighbor's village comes to me, right? So I can get it in seconds these days. So information travels faster. And when I listen to professors from around the world who I have adored and still adored, what they have done to fit the saddle, make sure the saddle fits. Some people like Dr. Sue Dyson in England came up with the ethogram. The horse talks now. We understand the pain in the horse. And then we have veterinarians who quit and says, look how these people sit on the horses. And it says the majority of the back pain comes off how the rider sits. Kind of matches what the Spanish riding school says. Mm-hmm. The most important aid is the seat. So the common question, the common things what clinicians say to the majority of the rider, which are women, 95% of the riders hang in the horse's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Good hands is the secret to riding. You bounce around, you're in trouble. You need an independent seat, which I'm coming back to it. And too many riders have a cramped seat, and they have not the suppleness. You cannot have suppleness when you sit in front of your TV, and you not sit when you're on the toilet. And your back is rounded. You cannot pivot. That's what the independent seat means. It means you can stick your tummy out and suck it in without leaning back and forth. Right?
I love your saying all that. Because as a dressage rider, I immediately think of, you know, how do you get to that self-carriage? And in a way, it's like the rider needs to develop self-carriage as well.
Right. And it's absolutely hideous to me how many times saddle makers or saddle fitter fight the facts that we're putting somebody in a wrong shell. Let's just don't call it saddle for now. Let's call it shell. Okay. If I put something in the wrong shell, it doesn't fit. But we as humans are super people. We can adapt. And the way we adapt, we lift ourselves away from a peak in the saddle. We as males put in the saddle since day one we make saddles. We call it the rooftop. And the reason why we put a pointy part right underneath our crotch, I don't want to sound too rude here, but it's a fact. That's the first I learned in Western making, English saddle making. So my dad, who taught physics, he always said to me what I showed you in the first sentence. The person knows the how will always follow the person or the why. So I go, hey, master, tell me, why do we need to make that peak in the saddle? You are the dumbest apprentice I ever had, he said to me. I thought you're a rider. You should know. The reason why we make the peak in the crotch is so the male parts gets pushed to the left or the right. You should know when a guy falls on his parts, they're faint. Oh, yeah, stupid me. How could I not forget? How could I not know that? And then, here's the worst part, Joy. I remember my sister. She was a way better rider than my brothers or me. She always had the best horses. She quit riding when she was 14 years because she wouldn't give us a reason. But I remember all the time she said it hurts. And I went on her horses, on her saddles. Mm-hmm. I thought she made it up and just doesn't want to ride anymore. Heard what? Well, there in the crotch. I think you're making it up. So I have yet to meet a lady who likes to sit on the rooftop. Mm-hmm. So that's why you see a lot of people like this rider here leaning back and then bringing her neck forward because your balance is in the ear and you know where you want to be. But yeah. Your pelvis lifts away from the peak where we put specific in the saddle. And that's not it.
It makes so much sense. I think about my own students, how often I have to say, like, keep your chin up because they all tuck because they're leaning as opposed to finding that natural balance.
Yeah. And then there says, my master says, make sure where the rider sits, where the seat bone is. Don't make that saddle so wide. Make it nice and narrow so the seat bones don't fall off the edge. It's important for the rider. Rider could be girl or boy, right? It's important for the rider to not sitting on a base what's too wide in the back. Well, again, part of the difference in the pelvis is that boys have a much narrower seat bone distance than the ladies. And like you just said, after birth, when ligaments relax, and when you look at a pelvis, there are certain areas wide open and then come slowly back, right? That gets even wider. So here we are, not forced, but this master 100 years ago taught this master, and this master taught me and made sense to me because I don't feel what my sister feels, or I don't even put two and two together and says, hey, don't women have seat bones which are wider? Isn't that crazy? So most of the time, women tell me, I don't feel my seat bones. I feel my underwear line and I feel rubbing and biting me here, but I don't feel it. And how much
money is spent on finding like the perfect reach to for comfort? There's equestrian underwear for women for comfort. And, you know, I still go back because, you know, I ride thoroughbreds. I work with thoroughbreds. You got to think the comfort of that horse and how your seat will impact that horse long term too, because if we're compensating, horses are mirrors of our bodies. And if you're developing, you know, a young thoroughbred off the track coming back after postpartum, if you have a horse that maybe was sitting, like my horse sat during pregnancy, she is not a horse I could lease, you know, bring her back in, she's going to be out of shape. And now we're both going through this together and everything shifted. That's going to change our conversation during the ride.
So I think, come back to our first question, why does nobody talks about the difference after birth and prepares the riders for it? Because this industry is still struggling with admitting, yes, there's a difference. So here I'm trying to, since 1996, trying to through, back then they didn't have internet, back then they didn't have what we do now, right? So news traveled a little bit slower, but I was going around and I say, okay, would a cold blood, a Shire, a Friesian, has the same top line of the horse like a thoroughbred? No. The thoroughbred are known of having a little slimmer body, higher withers, and they'd fall a little bit faster away from the spine. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and this is actually what my instructor said, you know, we had this saddle stand in the tack shop. I don't know if you can see it here. Mm-hmm. So, and it says there's the withers, and most of the time, riders sitting at the balance point of the horse at the base of the withers. The rodeo riders, the bullfighters, they all sit there. And when you ride bareback, you're not sitting in the middle of the back. You snuggle up to the front of the horse's back, right? Mm-hmm. So further you come, so higher the withers will go. So you go where the withers blends in. So let's say it's like this. So he showed me this vertebrae of the horse. Let me see if I find it. Where is it? Oh, here. So he says, there's still a distance from the high point. You can always feel the high point of the horse, but what sits here is back muscle. So if I put a pencil underneath the carpet, your eye may not see it. But if you run your hands over the carpet, you feel that pencil, right? Mm-hmm. So if you put your hands over the horse and put a little pressure on it, you feel immediately the pencil, the high point. So the soft muscles, your seat won't sit in it. Oh, is that nice? But this will come up. Because there's nothing but goes down. Mm-hmm. So this is what's called the rooftop. We simulate when the rider sits on the horse, sits on the muscles, but when they sink a little bit, that point comes up, mm-hmm. which is perfect for me and for all the guys, because we don't want to cross our eyes and faint and fall off the horse. But a lady wouldn't want that, because you have parts which are inside, not outside. Mm-hmm. You don't have the choice of putting it left or right. And even like you already mentioned, padded underwear, that pencil will be under the carpet. So how do I avoid it? Avoid changing the saddle making. Can you see this line here?
Yeah.
There's a line here. That's a high point. So if I put my cell phone on top, okay, so where my ring finger is and index finger, mm-hmm. right, there's a lot of distance to the phone. There's a lot of foam I can put there where your seat bone will sit. But this part here, okay, will come up. It's perfect. So I simulated what I feel when I'm on the horse. And this back here, keep it nice and narrow, because my seat bones are nice and narrow. Right? So this is what you have to remember. Saddles have been made for hundreds and hundreds of years. A man made saddles for a man rider. But now in the late 70s, it's shifted. And in 1996, we patented a saddle where we went the opposite. I can't change the horse. The anatomy is all the horses the same, and even more so on the thoroughbred. It says, why don't we get rid of the rooftop? And I sold this patent to the bicycle company. Because on the bicycle, even the guys will now hate the high point in the crotch, because they're leaning forward on the high point. Now they rupture that blood, the blood vessel, what feeds a certain part. So you can't have that constant pressure there. You're not sitting upright like a rider on the bicycle. So the bicycle company bought this patent from me. We now have a saddle with a hole. You see how this is more tailored here, but it's much wider here. Women have wider seat bone, but your thighs have a Q shape. We don't have a Q shape. How does a rider or a person gets a Q shape in their thighs? The distance from your hip socket to the outside, what makes your hips, is that length of the neck of your longest bone, the femur. So when you describe a lady, sometimes you do this shape, right? Mm-hmm. You would never do that with a man. You say, oh, look at his chest, and he has a good waist, and poof, go straight down.
It's all very like hard linear. Yeah.
Then you go, right? So we need a lot of saddle between our upper inner thigh, because we got a lot of space between our upper inner thighs. Our muscles is more in the back. We have oval thighs. I don't care if I have skinny thighs or strong thighs, they're oval. Where lady, skinny or strong, they're round. How many times have I go to my poor riding students, I say, stop, you're driving me crazy. See how the toes are out, knees are out? So I grab the rider's leg, try to replace a muscle what nature has not intended to put on the female leg there. But what did I know? I didn't pay attention in grade six, or maybe grade six didn't talk about Q shapes and muscle.
They did not, to confer. To boost your ego for this call, they did not. And I love that you say that too, because so often, and I feel like this is across industries, and I'm not trying to get political, but I feel like it's very common to blame the rider that you're weak, or you need to build muscle, or you're inexperienced, and that's why you can't get it, when actually you are forcing yourself into something you're really not supposed to be fitting into. You're fitting a square into a round hole. I love that you say it, because ever since I was a kid, I was told, try harder. And what do I get out of it? Tight hip flexors, back pain. inconsistency. Like, and you're working much harder than you need to work.
You know, Joy, when I was going through this and I not all of a sudden found a holy grail, I just had somebody who was on the Canadian team and says, you're going to talk to my gynecologist. And I says, no, I'm not going to go to your doctor. And the doctor had a wife and she was a writer too. And he was curious enough to come to my little tack shop back then to say, okay, where's this guy who makes saddles? Show me how you make saddles. And I was saying, probably put the peak in here. We don't make it too wide. And he goes like, duh, the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
And you know the difference. And then he taught me. And I learned so much. But what I really learned a lot was when I met this gentleman. He is also a writer and he wrote this book. And when he said chronic bladder and kidney infection for ladies come from a saddle who ride, hip and knee pain come from a saddle from women who ride, and long-term damage, L4, L5, disc issue come from a saddle, I denied everything because I'm a saddle maker. Of course, I don't do something like this, but hurt 95% of the riders. I live in this cognitive dissonance because I didn't see why. Remember the saying again? The person knows the how, blah, blah, blah. So then I said, okay, I need to know why. Why do you make a statement? Why do you write this book? He says, well, we evolve, using your words. We allow ladies now on the saddles, but what doesn't evolve is the saddle industry. Now, the clothing industry in this equestrian industry has understood. Go to a tack shop. 95% of the clothes there is for women.
Yeah.
If you're a guy and you want to buy riding breeches or whatever,
good luck. Get them custom made.
Because they understand the bodies are different. And now the most important part, who we reckon, how we recognize skeleton in the ground when we dig them up, is the pelvis. The saddle is ignored. The saddle maker is ignored. So this person says, okay, what happens to your body if you refuse to drink water? Well, you
eventually die.
Eventually it will caught up to you. So if you refuse to accept or get it in your brain, the rider will always adapt. And they will have chronic hip pain, knee pain, all the way to the disc. And the friction, because they're sitting on the rooftop, no matter how much you lean back, you know, it's inevitable. And I was shocked. But not until I did what he said to me, you know, you need to make casts. I had to ask again, what did you just say? Cast? C-A-S-T, cast, like a dentist? Cast? Yeah, from a butt. Because only then, once I saw it myself, and we have over 120 casts in our shop, we call it the butt museum, there is two shapes, no matter how skinny or how tall the person was. One shape for the guys, one shape for the girls. Completely different. Like you just said, when you apples and oranges or fitting this shape in this. Now that, for the first time, I felt like a moron. Here I have my certificate as a master saddler, worked in 5 different countries, looked at different saddleries. Nobody ever explained the why and showed me what actually happens when we deform. Now we understand from history, women meant to deform their feet because it was not classy for women to have large feet. So what did we do, especially in the Chinese world? Remember the time when they had these bounding feet?
Wrapping our feet, yeah.
So that is ridiculous. But we
live in corsets. I mean, wrapping your waist during the Victorian era with corsets, like anything to fit a societal standard.
Bungo. But now we're living in the world where we evolved and we accept ladies on the horse. We also evolve with technology and medicine. And now these people can actually speak up and tell you the why. Now you as a rider can just say, oh, I guess I keep putting the corset down and bind my feet. Or I actually going to look for something what is not just thought by Jochen Schleser, but what is actually knowledge, common knowledge in the industry who make write books about all the deformity. Okay, so we have a horizontal line of the rider, sorry, of the horse, and the vertical line, the spine of the ride, and we try to ride them in and marry them in harmony. So we know from the women they have more lordotic curve in the greater curve. Tailbone is shorter. They have a birth channel. And the balance, and this was I find very interesting, the balance of axis is further forward. Now, this is very interesting, especially from today's topic, what happens to the rider after birth. Now your balance changes again.
Well, your lordotic curve gets deeper as well during pregnancy, especially, but even after. And you know what I find crazy? I'm going to get political for a second. We don't encourage as a culture in America for women to get pelvic floor therapy during or after birth. Unless something has happened where you're experiencing extreme discomfort or you had trauma during your delivery. That's the exception when your doctor will recommend it. I chose to go early on because I wanted to understand my body. And that's honestly how we even got to this topic at all, is I did a lot of research and realized how my body was shifting in real time. But your lordotic curve will change and get even deeper through that pregnancy. So you're almost walking in a full C shape.
Yeah.
And it changes everything about how you move.
And how you ride.
And how you ride.
So, and here we go. This instructor on the bar in the back says, get your seat in the saddle, sit in, bring your seat down. How can you go against the curvature of your back? Because you're not evolved to this shape, right?
And you get blamed for having a weak core. And you might actually have an extremely strong core.
I know. It's so ridiculous. Once you see this, you can't unsee it. And this is why I'm so passionate and I'm so grateful that you and I have a chance to talk, because through multiple channels, we might help the horse. Because if we help the rider to sit more quiet and balanced, the horse will be so much appreciated. Because I don't think people purposely want to be cramped on the seat or hanging on the reins. They don't do that on purpose.
Yeah. Two thoughts come to mind. One a comment and one kind of a follow-up question. So the comment being, I think one of the gaps you mentioned earlier, like why we're not having the discussion, right? Because, you know, we didn't know or we're not sharing information as effectively as we could. But I think a big part of it is we also don't have riders speaking up of, I want something different. Instead, you're told this brand is amazing. I don't know how many people have bought a custom saddle and they're told it's going to change their whole ride. Their horse is happy and it fits the horse. And then you see that same saddle go on Facebook Marketplace 2 weeks later. It's not working for me. It doesn't fit my horse. When actually, it probably doesn't fit you.
Exactly. 110%. And you said it very eloquently. And when I think back in my time when I was gotten instruction, was shut up and ride. And the instructor was in the center and yelled at you. You know, it was still coming out of the military stage. And now I think people get more educated through social media. And I'm not saying Dr. Google is always right. I'm just saying there's more information that the people can say, okay, enough. I'm paying a lot of money for this riding horse or lesson, or for this or that and the other. Why would I sit on an interface where two beings, the rider and the horse, come together? And that interface is doing everything hindering me to go where I want to go.
Yeah.
So deep in your heart, you know what you want to do, but you get frustrated with yourself because, like you said before, I blame myself when it's so logical. Wait until you see the rest. Yeah. Here's another example. You know, since 400 years, we teach the same thing, or the people teach the same thing in the Spanish riding school. And it wasn't until 22 years ago that the ladies were finally accepted in the Spanish school, because it says no woman can ever ride in the Spanish riding school. And then they got all sexual harassment. They all left again until from the top changed on and the president became a woman. And all of a sudden it changed. Right. So, but what doesn't change is the it's the saddle industry. Okay. Because for years we make saddles for men and men make saddles. Yes, from 1,000 saddlers, you may find 10 saddlers.
I mean, men made bras too. And we learned that how many women love to take their bras off as soon as they got home.
So if we think this pattern and we think about that riding as an art and skill, right? So is saddle making. When a guy makes saddles, or a woman, and their form, they feel it. All the time through the process, I sit in the saddle, that's nice. Then I put the leather on, this is nice. Now I put the flap on, this is nice. I don't feel what 99% of my rider feel. How can I say it's nice? I failed when I picked a shell up, the saddle tree. What has that peak in it? So if I'm going to look at these people who have their legs shot forward, their knees out, they're fighting for their balance, and you put them, and you look at the lady with on the right, top right. See the two blue curves? And you said after pregnancy, that curve goes even deeper. Well, that means your pubic symphysis gets lower. So when I look at this shoulder, hip, and heels, and I want to align over the sternum, I have to have an open mind and says, the rider with non-burst channel will never feel what a rider with a burst channel will feel. Mm-hmm. We've done this over and over and over again where we had the same body type but different sexes. And the difference, the impact in the cast is humongous. Mm-hmm. You know, seat bones are in the back on the riders, more closer together. And the seat bones on the lady due to the C curve, the lordotic curve. And the front part on that left cast is your pubic symphysis. So we have impact differences. On the right, you see the pelvis on the saddle. Look how high the pubic symphysis is on the male, right here. Look how far distance. And on the lady, this is where your underwear line is, right there. And your pubic symphysis. Never mind sinking in the seat form and the center comes into your crotch.
Yeah.
You're already behind the eight ball when you sit on a frame what is not meant for you. So
this makes me think too with saddle fitting for your horse. Mm-hmm. And I remember you're told I think it's like two or three finger rule of how much space you should have behind your saddle and your seat. Mm-hmm. It's kind of I guess the normal thing that saddle fitters would tell us. And it makes me wonder, for me to feel comfortable in that saddle, I'm going to need a longer saddle. And how does that impact my horse long-term? Does that saddle put strange pressure on the spine for my horse if it doesn't truly fit me? And how does that impact their anatomy and their well-being?
Okay. Before I answer this, I want you to put yourself in a different moment. Forget horses. Say you are, you love hiking. You love walking. Long distances, okay? Not competition. You just like to take your twin boys out and you walk them nonstop, okay? With on your carriage. But you have a shoe what creates a blood blister on your pinky. Would you stop walking or would you adapt your walk in order to avoid the rubbing on the blood blister?
Oh, you'd adapt typically.
So what riders do when it hits me in the crotch, or I go on a saddle what's longer to shift myself further away to the back, you adapt. Because subconsciously, your body goes in protection mode. And without you even realizing, my sister was screaming back and forth to our coach. She says, I'm not doing it. And then we had to videotape her. And then she couldn't believe, oh my God, I'm doing it. So your body thinks you're doing it right, but you're not, because your body protects you, like you walk your babies. You adapt your walking, right, from your blood blister. So what you do now, you adapt, and now you're sitting in a most vulnerable area on the horse where they develop very fast kissing spine. And no matter how many times you have stuffed the saddle, how expensive the saddle is, it will never fit the horse because of your adoption of your body. You know where you want to sit, but the saddle doesn't let you because it kills your crotch. Or rips your thighs apart like a chicken wishbone on a chicken. So if we think that thought for a second, okay, we need to understand that our hip socket, how the leg falls out of hip, is completely different between male and female. And what I want to share with you here is I grew up on horses. I live and breed horses. I feel the most safest when I'm around horses or on the horse. Mm. And I love work making saddles. I feel the saddles. I fit saddles. But I will never be able to feel how my wife rides, my sister rides, or any other woman, because I just have a complete different structure where everything is balanced on the pelvis, starting off with your hip socket. So do you see the difference how the hip sockets fall out of the male and female?
Yeah.
Can you see how long the tailbone is male versus female?
Mm-hmm.
So when my instructor said, make that lower back straight, get your butt cheeks to the saddle, piece of cake. My sister was in tears because she tried so hard and she couldn't make her lower back straight. Especially when a lady has a baby. Now it morphs even more in the C shape. But here is what really killed it when you said to me earlier, the balance point shape. Check this out. When you turn the pelvis upside down and you're looking from the bottom, you will see clearly how the male seat bone are closer together. You see my mouse here? Can you see the mouse?
Yes.
You can see what the seat bones are much narrower on the male versus female. Mm-hmm. That I remember from grade 6 in anatomy. But I didn't remember that the center of the hip sockets is the pelvis axis from left to right or right to left. Look where the hip socket is on the female versus the male.
Yeah.
The male pelvis point. So I can take, anybody can take a pelvis, put the seat bone on the hand, and you can balance it instantly. You cannot do that with the female pelvis because the pelvis axis.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you expect to sit in the saddle where the deepest point is made by a man for a man in the wrong spot when a lady sits on? Really bad it gets when you have a baby because that shifts because of the weight from top. So while we compensate, okay, and most of the time what we do, we either lean back or we tilt back. You see the red dotted line on top of the vertebrae mm-hmm. there? So that's not good for your disc. That top level of your vertebrae needs to be like the green cross, horizontal. So when you tilt away, either from the withers or from the ill-fitting saddle for the rider or the pelvis axis is off, you can adopt. But what happens, and this is not my words, this is from the doctor who wrote the book, your disc here, you bend the vertebrae forward and you see the blue rubbery thing, that's your disc. Okay? The disc will go, just like you, and shift. And if the disc slips, that's super painful. It goes in the nerve, collapses, mm-hmm. most of the time means surgery. So when we have top rider, because the argument is this, oh, that's all smoke and mirrors because you know how many Olympic riders are out there who ride in male saddles and they become Olympic riders? Okay. How many of those had lower surgery, L4, L5? How many of them have deformed bodies? How many people deal with unnecessary lamenesses on the horse caused by ill-fitting saddles?
I mean, so, I think there's a reason we all say most riders would not pass a pre-purchase exam.
Right, and back to, I really become like this broken record here, but if we all start with this sentence, the person knows the how, plus the person knows the why. If I figure out where does the problem start, then start fixing the problem there. Rather than keep putting water in a bucket what has lots of holes in it, fix the holes if you want to carry water. Right, so, and I cannot tell you what a sensitive subject that is in our industry. And the reason why? Cost money.
Yeah.
Right? It's all about money. Because if I make you ride in shitty saddles, I'm going to confuse you and says, wow, the European women pelvis is different than the Japanese women pelvis. A desirable pelvis for the women would be the one in the middle. So if you're Chinese and you love horses, doesn't mean you can't ride, or Japanese, or if you're European, or...
Isn't that the point of a custom
set? It doesn't have to do with anything, right? It's ridiculous. So there is so many different female pelvis, but we're talking about the birth channel. Right? We're not sitting on the birth channel. We're sitting on our seat bones. So here you see the Q shape, what I was talking earlier about. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the longer neck on your femur, and they come together and down. See, there's little space between your upper inner thighs. You don't need space there. Your parts are inside. We need lots of space because our parts are outside. That's like how...
It feels very like 2 + 2 = 4.
Like, come on. Right? So, and if people make saddles for the people who are these people, we don't even look at what you and I do here, right? So mm-hmm. as long as I put you in a saddle what is not for your body, the industry is happy. You sell a lot of saddles, you sell a lot of unnecessary saddle fit, which is constantly an issue. I mean, the industry is happy. Oh, yeah, we're coming out and get your money again for stuffing your saddle. Put more water in the bucket, right? So then what else do I create? A lot of osteopaths, veterinarian, chiropractors. The list goes on. It's a fabulous. It's almost like the pharmaceutical industry, you know? So give them a pill to stay half healthy. But
have
not really.
Have you heard the saying that the most negative... And I'm going to butcher saying it, but the most negative thing to the healthcare industry would be a city that fully utilizes bicycles.
No, I've never heard that.
And it's because it would have people be more active, for one, less sedentary lifestyle, being more fit, more cognizant, breathing less toxins from all the emissions of cars. It hurts. Yeah, the buying industry, right? If you're not relying on a car, a bike is much cheaper, which also hits the insurance industries. You know, it's one of the most toxic things for an economy that relies on people being sick.
Wow. Yeah, so the list goes on and on. So my recommendation, if you get your saddle fit, do a very quick check. It's so easy. Have your saddle fitter or your friend measures your hips when you sit in the saddle. Make the tape go right to the front of the saddle, right to the back of the saddle, and measure. Your butt cheek is pushed up, your legs are apart, you're not standing like this. But this gives the saddle fitters a measurement which tells you, are you having the right seat width on the back of the saddle for your seat bone to land on it? Number two, measure your upper leg and your lower leg, and then measures from pelvis down to the ankle. That gives you a triangle. That determines where the stirrup bar sits, because the male feet are in general larger than the female seat. That means if a small female foot got to go forward where the stirrup leather is, it constantly puts your lower leg in the chair seat. It's a pendulum issue. By moving the stirrup bar back, your leg stays down there. Many women said, oh, I ride much better without leathers than with leather. Yeah, because the stupid stirrup leather doesn't jerk your leg forward. So by measuring your upper leg, lower leg, and the length of your leg, you can determine very, very, very fast where your stirrup will be. And then the next thing what I like to show is two saddles, and everybody can do it. I'm going to stop the presentation for this to show the saddle. Jumping saddle or dressage saddle or polo saddle, it doesn't matter. When you have a saddle, all you need to do is, this is the front roll, we call it the pommel roll. Every saddle has one. You put your pinky on it and your hand like this. Okay. And where your thumb is, you want to see minimum of 3 to 4 of your fingers. There is one. One or two means all the leather, all the foam has taken away, and the peak has been created. I love how that fits me in the crotch because my parts go left or right. Then there is an area, a pocket for the parts. And then there's nice width here because I have lots of space, like most guys have, between the upper and the thigh. Ladies don't have it. It's nice and narrow through here. My wife hates that saddle because she falls off the side. She hits the crotch and her thigh gets pushed out. So let's pick another saddle. Let's see how that would be. Same thing. Here's the roll. Put your pinky on it. Put your thumb where the thumb is. Now, look at how much wider the seam is. Mm-hmm. Here, again, easy 3 to 4. You know, the dip is down here where the thigh is. I hate the saddle with the passion because my board don't know where to go, and I feel there's a gap there. Plus, why does it need to be so wide here? For me, I don't like it, but my wife loves that saddle. Right? And it's not because my wife and I look so different. Because she has the first channel, I don't. Mm-hmm. Period. It can't go any more simple. So anybody who has saddle and is now worried about, do I have a male or female saddle? This simple trick will tell you right away. And if that doesn't help you still have problems, put a pair of jeans on it. Put the saddle on a saddle stand. Balance it on the saddle stand. Let your feet hang, and then you sit down like this. All right? You'll have your tummy here. Put one hand here. Pivot your pelvis this way. You'll suck in your pelvis, your stomach to the spine. Mm-hmm. But don't lean back. Just suck it in. And then stick it out. Like really big as if you have a big beer belly. Right? Do this movement with your jeans. Stirrup bladder gone. Leg hang down. And if you feel the seam, you got the wrong saddle. Hmm. You don't feel the seam. You have a saddle where there is no peak. Now, the saddle on the saddle stand doesn't do walk, trot, or canter. Mm-hmm. It's stationary. And last I heard is saddle fitting is really important. The saddle should fit the rider and the horse. It's really important when the horse is moving and not just standing in the aisle. Mm-hmm. No, many saddle fitters don't even watch you ride before they work on the saddle. 8 out of 10. Ridiculous. How can I fit a movement if I don't observe the movement?
Yeah.
So, and that's the number one problem why nobody talks about post-pregnancy. Because we still, in this dark ages, and do not accept that women have evolved and actually allowed to ride on saddles, we don't build for them.
Yeah.
That's how ridiculous this is. So I'm sorry I'm a little bit passionate about this subject, but this drives me crazy as a saddle fitter when somebody says, I'll stuff my saddle. I get my kicks out of it when I come back, when the customer says, do you know how much better my horse went? I know it's not going to happen because the rider's still trying to avoid to sit in the quiet spot. You're still bouncing around there.
Yeah.
I have people in tears saying, you know, I'm riding since 4 years and I still can't do the sitting trot. You sit them in the saddle, bang, they can do the sitting trot. Bang, they do the flying knee changes.
Yeah.
So all these top riders adapted, like women adapted with their corset, with binding the feet. We as humans will do whatever it takes to adapt if I want to go where what I want to go. The road is crooked and hard. I build a car what can drive that road. Yeah. So we need to understand when we talk about love, harmony, kindness, feel, then we need to start with acceptance and understand that when I melt two beings, human and horse together, have the interface match the top as well as the bottom.
I love that, especially when 90% plus are the buying power in the industry. I think it's time for a change. I really do.
And it helps when and people like you and me, you know, we just talk openly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and sure we will hit people's nerves and sure we will say to the one or the other, that's just sales pitch, smoke and mirrors, fine. But I'm going to ask them, and just very simple, say to them, listen to your body.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if people know what a chicken wishbone is, you know, do you know what a chicken wishbone is?
I do.
Right? So eventually it will crack.
Mm-hmm.
And for me not to crack my hips, I turn my toes out. Push my lower leg forward, then all my weight, you asked me earlier, do I just go a bigger saddle, sit further back? No. They go in an area where the horse cannot sustain pressure.
Yeah.
And your ligaments, okay, if you don't get that endorphin rush to relax, they will eventually pay the price.
Yeah.
Because your body is not meant to pull that out like a chicken wishbone. So this is not my words. This is what science, what doctors, and the same thing, what people have realized, maybe I should drink water. I haven't drank water for a week and I feel like shit. So you know what I mean? We adopted the certain things, but slowly. And we like to take more Advils rather than drink more pills because we're living in the fast time.
Mm-hmm. Ah, it just brings so many thoughts. And I know we're coming up on time too, but I want to circulate back to horses, because one thing that has really frustrated me at becoming a mom, especially with two, you know, a boy and a girl, and so many people tell me like, oh, motherhood is such a sacrifice. And I don't believe it is. It is a chapter. It is a change. But, you know, I don't think of it as a sacrifice. And I think women are taught to put our comfort last. So for any listeners, because I'm sure a lot of you are women, if there are men listening, fantastic. I love the support and the allyship. But for women who might go, well, I'm comfortable in my saddle and like I like my saddle current state, I think it's really important to think about your horse then. If it's hard for you to put yourself first currently in the culture that we have, put your horse first, because we'll spend money on a horse, no problem. We'll do whatever it takes for the horse, no problem.
I love that. I
think about specifically in the thoroughbred space I'm in, we have a lot of young horses who are learning to be sport horses, and they get these stereotypes of their antics because of behaviors from the track. Those horses go through so much training to do what they do. And I would put a lot of money down on a bet to say, I think a lot of the behaviors actually just come from compensation and confusion of the conversation in the saddle, because it's just not fitting.
You said it so eloquently. And remember where these horses used to have riders who are in general lighter than the average pleasure rider. And they're most likely never sit in the saddle as much as the horse will experience now after being sold to a dressage or a hunter jumper or to an inventor, right? So for the first time they feel like people sitting in their back. So the horse will pay always the price. That's why I said I get much happier when I have customers who tell me, oh, my horse moved so much better. And I get unhappy if the rider doesn't fit in the saddle. So your topic today was amazing. My daughters beg me to have horses again after they were both, they all live here. We bought 100 acres north of Toronto, and we have a dream to have horses again. And they grandchildren, mine, I got four grandchildren. And there are, since there are open the eyes, have seen little horses. Because in my belief is we have, and experiences as a little kid myself, we live in a world where everything gets more expensive, uncertainty, solar flares, another world war, what is happening, what politics, we get so inundated with bad news every day, gas prices go through the roof. But Joy, do you know what? When I'm at my horse, everything disappears. I am the bubble. And when my girls, who have two four-year-olds and two two-year-olds, and when I see how stressed they are, and this is why my wife and I are so happy to we have two babysitting days. That's my best happy days ever. But they need a break. And I know many moms may not have the luxury of getting the break, but the break is, like you said, at the horses. So when they come with me and the grandchildren to the horses, which are just 5 minutes down the road and soon on my property, you can see how all of a sudden their stress releases. Maybe Joy, no, I'm not saying maybe. I know it for a fact. The horses have a different frequency, their heart, right? Frequency. And the horses have this calmness, what we love, and that kind of, I call it for a minute, dopamine. We love that. And that's why horse crazy people are crazy, because we always want that protection from them, as weird this sounds. And the last thing I want to do is hurt them, unintentionally or intentional, with stupid saddle fitting. So this is why I'm so passionate and super thankful to you to spend this time with me so we can share that.
Thank you for having me. This is great. As always, it's always, you're just a world of information. And I'm glad I was able to have this conversation with you because I think it's one that needs to be had in the equine space.
Absolutely. Joy, I think I hear your boy screaming. I heard it. Baby there. I can
They're hear waking my, up from their nap.
Happy time is over. Yeah. All the best. Good to see you again. Thank you for joining.
Thank you.
Bye.
For first-time horse owners and new riders just starting out, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel Feed to bring you My New Horse, a place where equestrians just getting into horse ownership or riding will find the resources and community they need at precisely their stage of the equine journey. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines who are eager to find easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
Well, Joy, like you mentioned before, it is getting to be trail season. We're about to ask Bridget a big question for trail riders in our new vocation segment. But if it's trail season, it's also fly season, which is a real pain in the butt for all of us as riders. But our friends at Spalding have helped both of us out this year. I know you guys have the fly predators going. How's that started?
Oh, my gosh. First, I want to say, right when we were getting our conversations with Spalding, I was getting blown up text-wise from other boarders at my barn of, can you get Spalding again? Because we noticed a difference. We didn't have them the year before. I like to like test things and be like, did this really make a difference? Or is it in my head? Kristen, it made such a difference. The flies were so bad last year. And this year, I had hoped the cold winter would have held, but it's been wet and warm and they have bred like crazy.
I think it's way worse. It doesn't matter what the winter does.
They've gotten like bioweapon strong. I don't understand the flies this year. I don't get it. But I'm so grateful for Spalding. So we've been getting our monthly shipments and I can tell the difference between our barn and our sister barn, who I'm sorry, wherever my horse goes, that's where the flies go, or the fly predators go. And so I notice a huge difference between our barn and the sister barn for sure. And everyone is just so happy. It's like, it's cut down the flies by like 50%.
Whoa. Okay. All right. I'm putting that on my list for when I eventually move the horses here to my own place, because with the cattle, it's too many. You know, I think you can fly predator for cattle, but with the cows and the horses together, it was too many bodies. So, but Spalding very generously sent me a bunch of their really cool No More Bugs fly spray, which actually smells nice. Like I was spraying this morning and then went right to work and was like, oh boy.
Oh, you don't have to like, like hold your breath and like,
no,
you don't breathe for like, another 5 minutes.
Yeah. If it's not toxic, there's like stuff in it. Check your labels, people. I'm pretty sure it's actually safe for human use. But honestly, like you get so much of it on you, just like trying to spray a horse in the breeze, like it, you don't need to spray yourself. You've already got it on there. But yeah, smells nice. And I don't think I offended any of my coworkers when I showed up to work, like covered in fly spray, which is a weird perk, but like a big bonus for all of us who are working in office jobs. So keep that in mind, folks. But it also works. I mean, the nice thing is like, oh, it doesn't just like smell good and it doesn't offend people, but it actually works to keep the bugs off, which is probably the most important part. So yeah, very grateful for our friends at Spalding for sending us those samples. Well, we are back for our most favorite segment, which is our new vocations training tip and adoptable horse of the week, in which Joy and I try really hard not to adopt everything that new vocations has to offer. So back to tempt us again for another week is Bridget from the standardbred side of new vocations. Welcome back, Bridget.
Hi, guys.
So before we get to the part where I resist loading up my trailer and heading west to come see you, one of these days it's going to happen. I'm just going to show up like completely unannounced and be like, yo, yo. And we're going to have a great time. But
and I'll be like, here are all the horses that you can take home with you today.
Right. Yeah. I need to like put something permanent in my trailer to be like, oh, no, I only have two slots, you know, before I fill it. But Before we get to that, my hope is that, you know, everyone's out and riding and enjoying the season and hitting the trails. And that also means that we might be running into things that we didn't know we had to work on over the winter. And one of those things that can be really hard to work on over the winter, because you don't really know until you get out there, is crossing water for the first time. So how do you like to deal with any breed of horse that does not want to get his feet wet out on the trail?
Yeah, I feel like you have, there's just polar opposites. There is the horses that are just born to be fish and they are plowing through that water before you have a chance to do anything about it. And you're like, oh dear God, where are we going? And then you have the ones that are convinced there is a shark in every droplet of water that they come across. And those ones, you know, sometimes it's good to be cautious. You know, I've had some of those fish horses just plow right in and then find a deep spot. And oh, now both of us are underwater. so the cautious ones can actually be good because they're not going to do that to you. But it can be really frustrating when you have, you know, set out on this trail ride and the next thing you know, you need to cross water and they are having none of it. So a couple things that I kind of keep in mind is, you know, first of all, be prepared to get your own feet wet in this endeavor. I have led more than one horse into the water myself. You know, sometimes all it takes is their friends are in the water and they're standing there. And if you let them go to the edge and they splash at the edge and their friends are splashing, you know, sometimes that's all it takes is buddies. You know, I know a lot of people do trail ride alone, but I definitely don't recommend it, at least to start with, until you really know your horse pretty well. I kind of don't really recommend it at all, but I know some people can't avoid that. So at least if you don't know what your horse's feelings are about water, go with some people and where at least one of them has a horse that is happy to, you know, splash away, because sometimes that's all it takes is one other horse in the water. If everybody else is in the water and your horse isn't, usually that'll do it. But I have been on the horse where that is not enough, but they know me well enough that if I go walk in the water with them, they will come in. And somewhere there are delightful photographs of me like up past my knees in Alum Creek with one of my makeover horses. And you know, it took us a minute, but we got there and then I had to get back on her in the water, because if I went out of the water and tried to go back in the water, that wasn't happening.
Oh.
So I actually did mount her in the creek, rode around for a while. And then after that, she was fine. But that very first time she was like, oh, I'm not doing that. One of the things I like to do at home, if you are someone like me who gets lots and lots of water in the spring and in the fall where, you know, it's cooler and the ground isn't absorbing it like it does in the summer when you have all this growth of things and you end up with standing water, go play in whatever that standing water is. You know, it's not going to completely mimic flowing water of like a creek or a river, but it's something, and it will actually translate pretty well, letting them splash around in deeper puddles or flooded areas of your pasture or arena when you get the chance. Like, just whatever water you can find not trail riding, go play in it, even if it is just like you leading them into it, and be prepared to be wet.
Yeah, wear your muck boots, get some waders. Yeah, I remember that from my makeover days. We were all like, do not let a good rainstorm go to waste, people. Like, get out there.
Yes, go. We built in, it's really funny, we built in a small water obstacle in the little trail course I just started adding to the facility here. And even my seasoned trail horses hate it.
Oh.
I don't know what this man-made water obstacle is that it wants to eat all of my horses, but even my, like, cross every creek, play in every puddle, horses are like, nope, not walking in that. You can't make me.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, like, what vibe is it giving off?
So don't be discouraged. But again, definitely, you know, take people with you, take a horse that likes water, and be prepared to also get in the water.
Yeah, And I would say that also, like, sometimes that never expires. Like, right. We have a creek at home. We cross the creek in multiple places. We've crossed it at high water. We've crossed it in the winter. We've crossed it at low water. And even still, like, what, I think I'm on year 8 or 9 with Jobber. There's a public trail system I go to, and the first water crossing, he'll be like, no, thank you. And I still have to dismount. And it's just something about that first one. It's like a steep kind of like bank to get down in it. And then it's a pretty broad, like it's a much wider creek than what we have, but it's not any deeper. And he's just like, nope. And then after like an hour when he's thirsty, he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. But like that first, that first one, I'm like, son of a gun, I got to take, you know, here I go wading in, you know, and then you got wet feet for the next couple of miles, but it is what it is. So yeah, it's just, yeah, something about like natural creeks. Cause then I've taken him to like a trail challenge thing, like, you know, and he saw one of those, like, they're a little sneaky, those water boxes.
Have you ever seen one of them?
Like, you know, where it looks like a normal thing and then they put their foot in it and the top moves and all the water shoots out. And like, I think they're a little gotcha-y to horses. I don't love them. You know, and once they get used to it, they're fine. But like that first step, it's like, oh my God, you just set them back. Like, not only. I have mixed feelings on those things.
Sprayed me.
Right. Yeah. Like with no warning. Right. Yeah. You know, but I have pictures. It was at Jen Roberto's. I have pictures, and Jobber got very courageous. He really likes like a puzzle like that, but like a natural free flowing creek, like with like pretty like sun dappled shade. He was like, absolutely not.
No,
the box thing, he was like, well, I didn't like that at first, but I'll get brave. I was like, well, whatever. So, you know, you never really know is the long, the short version of what I'm trying to say. You have no idea until you actually get to your first creek how it's going to go. So practice. And then, yeah, like Bridget said, just get ready to get wet.
And then, yeah, like some days, I don't know, sometimes if the creek is really clear, that's good. Sometimes if it's really murky, they like that better. I, you know, they're all so different about their feelings on water. And again, it can be super frustrating when you watch them like galloping through, you know, the standing water in your fields, and then you get on to ride and they're like, nope, can't do that. But if you stop and think about it for a second, like, hey, now you've changed things. They're not just tending to themselves. They have to tend to you as well. And they may just believe you're too stupid to ride through that
week. I was about to be like, oh, that's so selfless. That's so nice. Like, they're looking out for us. And it's like, right, yeah, because we're dumb.
Yeah, kind of like the same reason your cat brings you their kill. They think you're kind of stupid. But
idiot. Can I feed
Yeah, so just because they gallop through without you doesn't mean that they're ready to do it with you. They just have to, you know, piece together how they carry themselves with you, as well as without you, and making sure that, you know, you're doing your part as well.
Yeah. Love that. Equines of personal responsibility. All right. So Bridget, now here's the part where Joy and I do a little horse shopping. But it looks like you're super low on horses, which is good for me, right? Like, you know, I'm like, oh, good. Like fewer horses to tempt us. I know you have an adoptable horse to feature for this week, but you know, like what happens? Like, do they just all get adopted and they leave, or
there's an element of that to it. And then like, so what you're going to discover here shortly is our Matron of Honor horses number is going to increase a whole bunch here in a little bit. The new Carlisle facility will have a lot of horses available, and my gelding numbers will be very low. And then in the winter time, those Matron of Honor numbers will kind of like drop off, and I'll have a bunch of geldings available. And it has to do with
sorry to interrupt, but could you remind listeners what the Matron of Honor is at new locations?
Yes, absolutely. Our Matron of Honor program is the third career for the standardbreds that you know, did their time on the racetrack, then spent time in the breeding barn being lovely broodmares, and then now they've retired from the breeding barn and are going into their third career as riding horses. So they tend to be, I mean, obviously they're all mares, and they tend to be older teenagers or even some in their early 20s. But as the breeding and foaling season comes to an end, sometimes people have now weaned that mare's last foal and they're ready for her to move on. Or perhaps she's just, you know, not a good candidate for breeding anymore. So the end of summer is when we get a lot of our matrons into the program, ready to transition into that next career versus our racehorses who tend to show up at the end of meet or, you know, downtimes for the particular tracks in their area. And right now here in Ohio, especially, the fair season has kicked up real big. And so a lot of the training barns are racing the fairs, and some of these horses are kind of getting out there to see where they're going to fall as far as what classes they're going to be racing in. And so we may not see as many geldings right now while that all gets sorted out and while they're busy with the fairs. And then come fall and winter, they'll be ready to come back to us again.
Oh, love that. Okay, so there's a little bit seasonal then.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, tell us about our adoptable horse of the week this week.
So our adoptable horse is just the cutest little fun-sized mare you have ever seen. Her name is Hill Wright, and we call her Peanut because, again, she's fun-sized. She's right at 15 hands, which for a trotting mare is kind of on the petite side. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, that is little.
She's a little girl. We actually placed her full brother, I think, 2 years ago. He was a petite gentleman as well, and they're by the trotting stallion What the Hill, which is such a fun name. And she is just, you know, a charming little thing and so much potential. She didn't race a ton. I think 29 starts. Don't quote me on that. I'll have to look it up. But I think 29 starts, and she's just, you know, no injuries and really game to try whatever you want. Like, we could see her doing 100 paces. We could see her doing mounted games. I could even see her going and doing like ranch classes. She's just a fun, spunky little girl who has been a blast to ride. Just an absolute blast. And so cute. So stinking cute.
Fun. That is a perfect size, that 15 hand ish. I think that's about what Wes is. And I was like, this is excellent, because the standard breeds tend to take up your leg a little bit.
Yeah, I like that size. I am not a tall person. So, you know, that's a good size for me. And I know there's a lot of people that are like, I do not need that giant horse. This is the little girl for you. And don't let the fact that she's a mare scare you off of things, because she is very fun and very sweet to have in the barn.
Love that. All right, folks, get those applications in. You must be an approved adopter to adopt a horse from New Vocations. Bridget, remind folks where they can find all the fabulous horses available for adoption.
You can find all of our fabulous horses, and we are having a summer sale right now, so you can find all of our fabulous horses for half off at horseadoption.com or newvocations.org, and all those lovely thoroughbreds and standardbreds looking for homes will be there waiting for you.
You know what we say, folks, if they're on sale, they're basically free. Right. Get to it.
You could get two.
Oh, no, don't tell me that. You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. You can follow the network on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Writer, and you can follow along with the farm adventures on Instagram at Painted Forest Farm. My email is kristen@horseradionetwork.com.
You can find me on Instagram at MisfitMare, and my email is joy@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and My New Horse, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, as it really helps us grow. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride.
And as always, cow side leg.
Bye, guys.